Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, but he's not in the studio, and we are connected, but he will participating. And Daniel, welcome to our program.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Very well, and we're ready to talk about something going on in the news right today, dealing with Iran, as so often happens, and that has to do with how the Europeans have been dancing around this whole issue of the JCPOA. When we got out, of course, we blame the Iranians for it, which was fake news. And the Europeans hinted, well, we shouldn't get out of this. This is a pretty good deal. We should be training, trading with Iran. And they made their arguments for this, and which sounded like, well, maybe there will be some dissension, but there was not a lot of optimism on our part that that would be what that would happen, because the announcement now is, guess what? They're capitulating. They are yielding to Trump. Trump says, in his idea of strong American nationalism is that we use sanctions wholeheartedly and teach people lessons, and it can be almost anybody. Now it's the Europeans. He's threatening, if you guys don't come with us, we're going to put sanctions on you too, even if you are our European allies. So that meant that the Europeans had to make a decision, and yesterday they made that decision, and that has elicited a lot of chaos in this relationship on what will come next.
Yeah, it's remarkable, Dr. Paul, for how the European leaders like Merkel and Macron pretend that they can't stand Trump, they can't stand doing business with him. They always bow, they always dance when told to dance by the U.S., and as you point out, when Trump unilaterally pulled out of the deal and negated the deal, the Europeans said, "Well, we're not going to renege on our deal. We're gonna find a way. We're gonna continue." And the whole deal, as you know, was simply to provide some extra safeguards because of all the claims, false, of course, that Iran was pursuing a nuclear weapon when not even our CIA believed that they were. But this was just some additional safeguards that were built into the deal. And when the U.S. pulled out, the Europeans said, well, we're not going to pull out as well. So we'll continue to trade, we'll continue to abide by the deal, and we'll try to save it. But in fact, it was a lot of empty talk because they did nothing. And, the U.S. imposed secondary sanctions on Iran, which said that any country, because we're putting our sanctions back on, any country who trades with Iran is going to be subject to our sanctions. And when that happened, essentially the EU folded like a house of cards.
Yes, and it's changed a little bit in lining up the countries for and against each other, even though that existed before. The treaty was not an ideal libertarian treaty, but it was a move in trying to control Iran developing nuclear weapons. And to me and our institute, it was foolish for us to just to get out of it. One thing that is done in a realistic manner is this has pushed the three countries that together, Iran and Russia and China. Their alliance is stronger than ever.
Yeah, but what happened yesterday, and you pointed it out, the French and Germans triggered the dispute resolution mechanism within the JCPOA agreement. And essentially what this is, this will kill the deal. And that's why it is so dramatic. It's a full capitulation to Trump, not only Trump, but Trump and Netanyahu. But this mechanism is built into the deal. And essentially what it says is if the signers of the JCPOA have a dispute that they're not able to get over, and then what the Europeans claim is that the Iranians are violating the deal because, as you know, every 2 months since the U.S. pulled out, the Iranians, and this is within some clauses of the agreement, 36 and 37 article of JCPOA, they have the right to back off of some of their obligations. And so that's exactly what they did. They say, hey, we will go back and we will redo obligations if the U.S. honors the deal, if the Europeans honor the deal and start trading with us and end sanctions. Well, the Europeans never did. So the Iranians kept backing off every 2 months on schedule and nothing happened. So now all of a sudden, the Europeans flipped out and said, hey, the Iranians are violating the deal, when in fact they were within their rights. But the thing, Dr. Paul, and this is why the deal will be dead, is that here's the mechanism. Once it's invoked, which it has been yesterday, the signers of the deal have 15 days to try to find a solution. If they fail, the foreign ministers of those countries have another 15 days to find a solution. If they don't find it, any signer of the JCPOA can kick it up to the UN Security Council. And this is where it gets tricky, because the way that it's built into the agreement, the UN Security Council must be in favor of Iran, which it won't, because the U.S. would block any vote in favor of Iran. If they don't vote in favor of Iran, all the sanctions automatically snap back on Iran from the UN, and that's it. It's binding on all countries in the UN, including Russia and China. So that'll bring a real question as to what happens. But this is what's put into motion as of yesterday. So you can say goodbye to the deal and hello to the an increased possibility of war with Iran, which, of course, the neocons and Netanyahu, I'm sure, are thrilled about.
You know, the treaty is hardly a clear example of globalism, but it does show, you know, diplomacy and talking with each other and maybe diminishing the threat of nuclear war and moving in the right direction. But, you know, some of the people see this, though, these international agreements, whether they're trade agreements or military agreements, as a form of globalism. But I'll tell you what, if we undermine the European Union, which never deserved to be put together, if it gets undermined, which it is, that doesn't necessarily solve the problem, because who's going to set the orders? And that is, of course, America First, and we have a powerful leader in the America First movement, and it just changes who's doing the dictating and how are they sharing this. So I see a very dangerous situation here, because then what that does, it forces the military confrontation with the various groups, and it looks like the Europeans decided, oh, well, we don't want to go on our own. You know, we have to do what the American government says and what the American president say. So they, of course, then they capitulated. So, and I think you're absolutely right, Daniel. They're not going to put this back together again. But this is one of the reasons why, you know, I was always a bit skeptical of those kind of agreements. You know, yes, I want diplomacy. I want some agreements. I want to move away from conflict. But these types of conflicts, don't seem to work very well. My attitude has generally been, we have a right and an obligation to defend our country. But that doesn't mean we have to be involved internationally like NATO and United Nations and all these things, thinking that this type of approach is going to make it work better. I never believed that, and that's why, you know, that you can have a strong national defense, and you can have friends and allies, and you can have trading partners. But you don't have to have these agreements where so-called multilateral agreements, no matter who they are and what happens to them, we have committed our troops and our money and all these things. So this is not a surprise to me, but I'm not optimistic that all of a sudden something more libertarian, non-interventionist will evolve.
Yeah, and if in fact there's a de facto, there will be no more deals. Because who in their right mind would make a deal with the U.S. that backs out whenever it wants? And now even the Europeans, the French and the Germans, will back out at the behest of the U.S. So who would make a deal? It's ironic, because by the U.S. and the EU behaving in this manner toward their obligations under this treaty, under this deal, they're actually, as you point out in the opening of the show, they're pushing Iran closer into the arms of Russia and China. And maybe that's what they want, but if it's a war they want and they're pushing Iran closer to Russia and China, I don't think tomorrow Russia's going to say, hey, if you attack Tehran, we're going to do it as attack on Moscow. That's not how Russia does business. But when you increasingly push them together, you're going to start making that a reality as economic ties get closer and there's a lot more to protect in those relationships. So ironically, the neocons and the so-called people who believe they're America firsters and Trump, I think they're America lasters, but they're actually getting, ironically, the opposite of what they think they're getting.
Right. And Daniel, we're going to finish up a little earlier today, but I'm going to close and give you a chance to make another statement on this, that we're not going to hear much in the evening news about at least our perspective on this. It will be used to, you know, build up the animosity against Iran, all Iran's fault. No wonder why we have to go in and kill their leaders, you know, this sort of thing. So in that sense, it's going to be much more dangerous and worse, but it's always ganging up. And that's a long way from us defending their system of government. You know, they have their problems and they have their elections and they have their leaders and they have that to deal with. And, you know, just recently it was announced, of course, we talked yesterday about Iraq having a vote and saying American troops should leave Iraq. All troops should leave Iraq. Now Iran has said the same thing, that troops should be leaving the Middle East, which is what should be done. And then these problems would not be so gigantic to involve America troops, Europeans, the whole works. So this is not a good move, but I'm afraid that we're not going to hear the correct answer on the TV tonight about why a non-interventionist foreign policy would be helpful.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Dr. Paul. You know, the what we're fighting here is the war lies, and it's the exact same war lies that they used to get us into Iraq. They're using it on with Iran. I think one of the senators, Democratic senators, said that today. This sounds an awful lot like the run-up to war with Iraq, with the lies they're telling. So we're doing our best to counter the lies, and we're doing it because we're patriotic and pro-American. We need another $4 trillion war like we need a hole in the head. That's why we're trying to dispute the lies, you know. But I think with this move, Dr. Paul, I think we are much closer to a war with Iran. I think John Bolton is breaking out the champagne right now, and he's having a glass and he's celebrating. But I think any real Americans who care about and love their country should be very concerned, very afraid, and I think probably should contact their representatives and tell them how they feel.
Okay, very good. And of course, we can't get this discussion going because we have to wait and see if there's going to be a conviction on the impeachment trial. And that, of course, dominates the news and the election coming up. But when I look at all that fuss going on politically, I can't get too excited about that because generally, policies don't change. We change so-called leaders, and yet the policies stay the same. So the foreign policy is not likely to change, whether you have the Republicans or the Democrats in, whether you call it left-wing globalism or right-wing nationalism. So I think that you're right. We better worry about a confrontation, military confrontation. I believe the war has already started because I think sanctions are war, is an act of war. And it was mentioned that these additional sanctions that are going to be put on Iran doesn't need any congressional authority. Just think of all the interventions that have been done just by the president signing an executive order. It's just, to me, boggles the mind because others have used this, but an executive order, put on sanctions here, do this, three of the three. I just don't like that kind of government. I'd like to see a lot less of that activity. But I do want to thank our viewers for tuning in today and ask them to return to the Liberty Report soon.